This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hello and welcome to Rabble Docs. Today we have a very special presentation. The winner of the 2007 Radio Canada Digital Diversity Award, Ghosts Migrate. Ghosts Migrate explores two distinct yet interconnected storylines centering on a single family. Through two narrators, Ghost Migrate captures the circumstances around a woman named Hadia's birth in Canada, her parents' deportation in the 80s, and her grandmother's journey from Somalia to Kenya. The documentary was produced by filmmaker Hannah Abdul and spoken word artist and community activist Shadia Yassin. This is Ghosts Migrate.
My parents met in the city of Toronto. Landless. And in transition. Married in a mosque where they were not bound by borders or paperwork. In the eyes of the state, my parents did not exist. Ghosts, to be exact.
Hadia's parents, Abdul Qadir Mohammed and Zainab Ugas, were ghosts in this great nation. Hadia's father, Abdul Qadir, joked about it often. Now that's multicultural. Here's everyone in the world in Toronto, and we're aliens, but without any superpowers.
The day I was born, my parents were scheduled for deportation.
During Zainab's pregnancy, everybody had an idea for a name, though avoided to ask the proud-to-be parents about the delivery date, fully aware that the Mohammeds might be caught and deported before the birth of their child. The irony, nevertheless, was that their deportation papers neglected to mention a specific destination.
My mother was thankful to the 15 hours she spent in labor. Uncertain of the fate of her child upon delivery, or rather upon entry into Canadian soil, she would be in a plane within 24 hours.
Summer of 1981, Lansdowne and Bloor was the mecca of multiculturalism. But you had to look deep into the side streets and the basement apartments of the old houses. The local businessmen and women knew who the illegals were and did not think twice before selling to one of them, on account, that is. And so did the homeowners who rented their broken up, vile, small basement apartments.
Community meant the world to my parents. Far away from home, Africa, Tanzania, Somalia. Convenience store owners, laundromat owners, and the handful of East African taxi drivers were their community in a land they officially did not exist.
By 1982, the human remains of the Ogaden War. Those whom the bombs missed were virtually unknown to the privileged world. It was easy to forget these human remains. Neither countries, Somalia or Ethiopia at the time, cared to admit their existence. And the soldiers both countries deployed in order to defend the land's resources felt comfortable to continue their battle in front yards of villagers' homes. On November 3, 1981, Hadia's grandmother, Ayeyo, was unaware of the birth of her grandchild. Hadia came into the world wide-eyed and, like all babies, truly innocent.
All eyes turned to look when the principal escorted me into fourth grade homeroom class. I should probably note that my parents were in fact deported in the fall of 1982, and it was only after 9 years of one legal maneuvering had we relocated back to Canada. Standing by the door of homeroom class, in the eyes of my soon-to-be classmates, There wasn't a single black or African face amongst the group of 25 students. My foreignness was evident.
The 7-hour walk certainly took its toll on Ayeyo. Exhaustion, an understatement. Since the war broke in Mogadishu, now on foot for 4 months, dehydration, fatigue and hunger, and the sun have joined forces at last. In the distance, the sound of gunshots grew stronger while Ayeyo's hearing became increasingly weak. No one remembered when the old lady fell to the ground. She does not remember what happened during the next couple of hours or days. What she remembers were the bodies of people cramped together in a small hospital in Nairobi, Kenya, where mothers fought one another over a bed to rest their severely ill children. Ayeyo rose from the bed. No one noticed her leave. There were 4 patients, 2 doctors, and 3 nurses. The list of priorities was far too much to count. At 68 years old, there was no reason for Ayeyo to wait around for a doctor. Outside the hospital, Ayeyo approached a taxi driver. She did not have money, but what she did have was a phone number to a place called Canada. She had a daughter there. She suspected she had grandchildren too. Feeling somewhat guilty, the young driver took Ayeyo to a nearby call center and after that drove her to a refugee camp.
My parents worked evening shifts, day shifts, a chocolate factory and other factories. The dream of going to university was right in front of me. I decided to drop out of school. My plan was simple. All I would need to do is work 7 days a week. I'm bilingual, so how hard can it really be to find a receptionist job? And during the weekend, I can work in a restaurant. And in a matter of a year or two, my parents would gain their Canadian status. I would also put away enough money so I can visit Ayeyo in Kenya. Our lives will finally become normal.
Perhaps I shouldn't tell you that Ayeyo died in the same refugee camp that the nice taxi driver brought her to. And Hadia never met her grandmother. Ghosts migrate. They move through sealed gates and transcend barriers with great will. Ghosts migrate to survive. In the age of free trade agreements, unforgiven national debts, biological and nuclear weapons, and hushed private civil wars, it's the children of these very ghosts, those who were missed by the bombs and who accidentally survived, that fight for a better tomorrow.
That was Ghosts Migrate, created by Hannah Abdul and Shadia Yasin. The script was written by Hannah Abdul, and it was narrated by Shadia Yasin and Hanyi Choi. The editor was Melinda Francis. Music was by Alejandro Verbel. Thank you for listening to Rabble Docs. We hope you'll tune in again soon. I'm Megan Perry.